When Satan wanted to lead Adam and Eve into sin, he didn't stand over them with a sword, threatening to cut off their arms if they refused to do what he said. He didn't scream at them. He didn't torture them by shoving needles under their fingernails or by making them watch endless reruns of I Love Lucy. He simply started a seemingly innocent conversation focused on attacking Eve's mind. His goal? To change the way she thought about things. Welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 152. In this week's episode, we continue walking through chapter 9 of my book entitled, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. This week's episode is entitled, Destroyed by Deception. In the movie Star Wars, Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, one of the main characters named Luke Skywalker surrenders himself to the evil Darth Vader in the hopes of saving his father. And as Vader leads his son to meet the Emperor, Luke turns to his father and says this, I know there's still good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully. That is why you couldn't destroy me. Later on in the movie, we see that Luke was actually right. The good in Vader won out in the end. The rebel's archenemy turned around and gave his own life for his son. What a moving moment a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Not so with Satan. Here's a fact. In this galaxy and in this day and time, Satan was and is a murderer from the get-go. He hates the truth. There's absolutely no ounce of truth in him. Did you catch that? No good is in Satan. None. Not a zip. Big goose egg. Nothing. He is evil itself. Not even the mighty Jedi warrior Luke Skywalker could draw out anything good from Satan because there's no good in him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies, John 8, 44. Revelation 12, 9 tells us that Satan, that ancient serpent called the devil, leads the whole world astray. Okay, let's travel back in time to the Garden of Eden, just before Adam chose to sin. As the scene unfolds before us, we see the archenemy of our soul, Satan, beginning his attack by seeking to deceive Eve. And when the master deceiver wanted to lead Adam and Eve into sin, watch this now, he didn't stand over them with a sword. He didn't threaten to cut off their arms if they refused to do what he said. He didn't scream at them. He didn't torture them with needles shoved under their fingernails or by making them watch endless returns of I Love Lucy. He simply started a seemingly innocent conversation focused entirely on attacking Eve's thought process, her mind. His goal was to change the way she thought about things because he knew that would change the way she did things. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says this, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds, are you catching this? Your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Now, that's a critical point here. Satan attacked Eve's mind. He knows that if he can impress your thinking, he'll impact your living. Why? Because as Proverbs 23:7 says, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think will eventually become what you do. When your thoughts are focused on king me, I want, I need, I desire, I'd have to have, I can't live without, your choices and your actions are going to follow. They're going to be for king me. That's why we're commanded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, to take captive all of our thoughts, every thought, and think only on godly things. Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Listen, never forget that Satan's target is your mind. His weapon that he uses to attack your mind are his crafty little lies. His purpose And lying to you and attacking your mind is to get you to worship a false god, to get you to live for King Me instead of the Almighty Elohim. Simply put, Satan wants to draw you away from the Almighty God of the universe. Why? He hates God. He despises God. And so he's going to try to use you to get to the Almighty. Now, the steps that Satan used on Eve in that garden so many years ago are the same ones he uses on us today. His tactics have not changed. So let's take a look at it. Let's look at the steps that Satan took to get Eve and Adam to sin. Step number one is this. First thing he did was he got Eve to question or to doubt God's word. He began that crafty deception with a seemingly innocent question. I mean, he simply coyly asked, "Did God really say what you think he said? What if you heard wrong? What if you're misinterpreting what God meant?" Satan was asking a simple question, simply meant to cast doubt. Well, before we look at step two of Satan's master plan, I want you to notice how Eve responded to what Satan said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that the woman said to the serpent, "Oh, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." Now, that seems like an innocent enough response, right? I mean, we can eat of any tree in the garden. But I want you to look carefully at what she said to Satan. I want you to see the evidence that the seed of doubt was already beginning to grow in Eve's mind. So step one of Eve's response was this. She took away from God's word. She subtracted from Scripture. See, here's what God actually said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Listen, he said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." Let me repeat that. Listen closely. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Eve's response to the serpent was, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." She left out something very significant. Can you catch the subtle difference between what Eve said and what God said? It's there if you look for it. She neglected to tell Satan that she was free to eat from any tree in the garden. Let me repeat Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. God said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." She said, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." She left out the word free. Seriously, Steve, you may ask, are you really going to fuss over the omission of one simple little word, free? Yep, I am. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 18, "I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Luke chapter 16, verse 17 records it this way. "It's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of God's law." In other words, not only are the words of the Bible important to God, but even the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's are inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. My point is this. God takes every word of his word very seriously, and so should we. So here's what I want you to understand. When Eve removed the word free in her response to Satan, she made God into something he's not. She made God appear to be stingy, selfish, uncaring. Oh, my friend, listen, watch this now. We must be very careful never to take away from God's word. When we start down that path, I guarantee you it'll become much, much easier to disobey God's will. So why exactly did Satan want Eve to question the validity of God's word? Why did he start with getting her to doubt God's word? In Psalm 119, verse 11, David tells us, "I have stored up God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him." In Psalm 119, verse 105, David pens, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, Solomon says, "Every word of God is flawless." The author of Hebrews 4:12 writes, "The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hey, my friend, listen. As a superman of God, the archenemy of your soul wants to deceive your mind. He wants to draw you away from your Heavenly Father by drawing you away in your thoughts. He wants to get you to question God's word. Did God really say that, or did you misunderstand him? When Satan can get you to doubt the truth of God's word, then he bumps his strategy up to DEFCON 2. You see, step number two in his approach to Eve, step number two in his approach to you and I, is that he boldly denied God's word. His response to Eve was, "You will not surely die." You can almost hear the devil's voice dripping with sarcasm as he whispers that into her ear, "You will not die." Can't you just see him snort at Eve's answer, roll his eyes, and say, "Come on, Eve. Do you really think you're going to die? You're not going to die. Truth is, God's lying to you. He's not a very good God if he isn't telling you the whole truth. Come on." Well, keep in mind that up to this point, Adam and Eve had not seen death. They had no concept of it. But that doesn't change things. God had spoken. God had promised. There was a consequence to the choice, and all they needed to do was believe and obey. Something that you and I should take to heart, yes? Our responsibility isn't to understand the what, the why, the where, the when, or the how of God's will. That's not our responsibility. Ours is to just believe and obey. You see, when you begin to doubt, when you begin to question God's word, it's not long before you then begin to deny God's word. When you begin to doubt the truth of what God says, it becomes easy for you to decide to do something other than what God says. Doubting God's truth will always lead to rejecting God's truth. So once again, let's consider Eve's response, because it's very revealing. The second thing, the step number two of Eve's response was this. She added to God's word. Let me refresh your memory. Step number one, she took away from God's word. Step number two, she added God's word. Here's what I mean. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, Eve said this. "Well, God did say, you must not eat of the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Genesis 3, verse 3. Now, I want you to think about what's unfolding before us. Satan just called the most holy God, the creator of the universe, a big fat liar right to Eve's face. Did she tell Satan, "You're full of it, get lost"? Did she choose to defend her creator and benefactor, the creator and savior? No. The seed of doubt had already taken root. Her thoughts were pulling her farther and farther away from God's truth. And so I submit that Eve saw nothing wrong with adding her own little spin to God's word. I want you to consider exactly what God said in Genesis 2, verse 17. He said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Do you remember what Eve added? She told Satan that God had said, "Don't even touch it." Now, where did that come from? Because it certainly didn't come from God. But let's pose this question. Why was she wrong in adding to what God said? I mean, after all, isn't it a good thing to not even touch the forbidden fruit? I mean, hey, dude, just steer clear of it completely, and all is golden. You see, when Eve added to what God had said, she did two very serious things. First of all, she made God out to be less kind and generous. She stopped focusing on all that God had lovingly provided for them. I mean, hey, they had an entire garden at their disposal, with more food than they could ever eat in a lifetime. But instead, she chose to zero in on the one thing she couldn't have. She set her thoughts solely on what God was withholding from her, what he was keeping back. And so the doubts in her mind began to solidify into thoughts of what she began to believe she deserved and what God was denying. Her conclusion was God was infringing upon her rights. There was really no good reason why she couldn't eat of that fruit other than the fact that God was just plain stingy and selfish. The second thing that Eve did when she added to God's word was to make God's command a load that was just too heavy to bear. You see, adding that additional restriction, don't touch it, was just too much. I mean, I can almost hear Eve thinking, how could God possibly expect me to walk through the garden every day and not think about this particular tree? Doesn't he realize how hard he has made it for me to not just reach out and touch it, to reach out and grab it? 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 make it abundantly clear that God's commands are never a burden. When Eve chose to add to God's word, she changed God's truth. It became something that God never intended it to be. It's not about her. It's not about King me. The Bible commands us to never, ever add or subtract from Scripture. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Proverbs 30, verse 6. My friend, God takes his word seriously, and so should we. Now, we're not done taking a look at this, but we're going to close out this week's episode and come back and visit this again in the next week's episode. But right now, I want to leave you with four questions to consider. Number one, all Adam and Eve had to do was choose to believe and obey. That's all you and I have to do. Here's my question. Why is that so hard for us? Seriously, why is it so hard to just believe God and obey God? Question number two, how does questioning the validity and truth of God's word, how does doubting God's word lead to denying God's word? Question number three, why do you think Eve chose to add to God's word? And question number four, in what ways have you chosen to add to God's word or to subtract from God's word? Well, let's hit the pause button until next week's episode as we continue our journey through the book, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. If you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry and what we do across the globe to help men live in freedom and victory over porn addiction, then I encourage you to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources made available to you. The website is The Purity Coach. It's all one word, The Purity, P-U-R-I-T-Y, coach, coach.com. And if you've not yet subscribed to this Point of Purity podcast, oh, my friend, let me encourage you to do so today. You don't want to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach, Steve Etner, reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, he must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.